This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
Seek professional help. I think a lot of people, particularly us, like we say, well, my cousin told me how to fix my credit score. They told me seek professional help. The best way to get your credit score to a place where you can purchase a home is to seek professional help. Credible for professional help, actually with a third-party validation or with a professional referral. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we just say, well, I know what to do. I'm just going to pay this off and fix this. And that's not the real answer. The real answer is a professional who does this on a day-to-day basis.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to the Color of Money podcast. I am your host, Julia Lachey, and I am joined today by my co-host, Emmerich Peace, Daniel Dixon. And today's guest is Trey Adams of the Signature Group Real Estate Team in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Today, we're going to be talking about closing the homeownership gap. So first, what is the homeownership gap? And then I'll get a little bit into who our guest is. But in the United States, homeownership is the way people build wealth. Of course, this podcast is called The Color of Money. People build wealth through the acquisition of real property. In general, the homeownership rate in the United States kind of hovers between 65 to 70%. But that depends on who you are, based on your race. For white households, that homeownership rate is about 72%. And for Black households, that homeownership rate is only 44%. That disparity that exists is what we refer to as the homeownership gap. You might ask, how did it get like that? It was not accidental. It didn't just happen because we don't know any better. It was systematically structured that way. I'm not going to take you on a long history lesson, but I will go back to about the 30s and 40s post-World War, and people were having trouble getting homes. And so sometimes when there's a housing crisis, the government steps in. They did that in this case, and they decided to create a loan program that would allow people to get loans with less down payment. They didn't need 20%. They can get a house with about 3%. They were a little lenient on the credit criteria, extend the duration of the loan to 30 years, and they called it FHA. The Federal Housing Administration loan. They began to insure and back home mortgage loans. They provided these loans to people so that they could get homes. However, one of the underwriting guidelines was that these loans did not go to, and I'm using air quotes that you can't see, undesirables. Undesirables were Black people and other people of color. And so what they did then was they decided, where do the Black people live that we're not giving these loans to? And they started drawing red lines in those areas and in those neighborhoods and redlining them. That's where the term redlining comes from. And they would not lend or loan or insure loans in any of those redlined areas, which so happened to be Black and minority predominantly populated areas. So during that time where they were doing this with FHA, also with VA, veterans loans as well, less than 1% of Black people actually had access to the loans that the rest of the country was getting access to. Additionally, they started developing property, and in developing property, began building houses outside of these urban areas, and which we now refer to as the suburbs, and they would build new developments, and the government funded these developers. Part of the criteria, however, of getting these homes, you could rent to own them or you could buy them, but there was a caveat, and the caveat was that they had deed restrictions in them. We call them racially restrictive covenants. That explicitly stated that they were for white families only. No Black families could get those homes. In fact, not just Black families. You can find these restrictive covenants still in the deeds today of millions of houses across the United States. And they explicitly will say, no Blacks, no Jews, no Asians, no, and go down a whole list of people who aren't allowed to own those homes. An example of this is William Levitt. He was one of the major developers in Levittown that's on the East Coast. William Levitt was one of the major developers that were developing these properties and was funded by the government. That's on the East Coast, Levittown. And today, you know, 80 years later, it is still less than 1% Black. So there has been a compounded effect of the redlining and the racially restrictive covenants and the deed restrictions, thus creating today's homeownership gap. I say all of that because our conversation today is, what do we do about it now? Now that we have a homeownership gap, how do we help Black people get into homes to close this gap? Hence why our guest, Trey Adams, is with us today, because Trey specializes, and I will call it specializes, in closing the homeownership gap. I introduced him as an agent with a team, the Signature Group in Minneapolis, Minnesota. What I didn't say was that Minneapolis happens to be and has long been one of the places with the largest homeownership gap in the country. In fact, it has been the largest homeownership gap in the country for many years, except for over the last 5 years, that gap has begun to close. And if you do the research, and I'm going to make a statement that I believe to be true, Trey Adams and the Signature Group is highly responsible for the reduction in the homeownership gap in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, because you serve many first-time homebuyers, many first-generation homebuyers in the Black community. So welcome, Trey. Thank you for being here. You're going to help us solve this problem.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I think that may have been the longest intro that we've done, Julia. I think that was great.
No, I think she's a little biased myself, but that's okay.
No, I'm sorry, Trey. What were you going to say?
No, it was good. I enjoy it. She knows all the facts out here.
But right. I just need to make sure we have the backstory of what the homeownership gap is so that people understand why we need to close it, right? And what we can do to close it. But I guess that is the first question. What do you think we can do to close it, Trey?
Honestly, education. And I think that really stems from, so when I say that, because a lot of clients that I deal with and even people I know still to this day, their parents don't know anything about homeownership. And that's a problem, right? But if you think about it, that stems from different generations and generations of not knowing about homeownership, not knowing about finances. So I think right now, stems from education, and it needs to be taught. I still say to this day, it needs to be taught in schools. When I deal with people on a day-to-day basis, they're like, I wasn't taught this at home, and I wasn't taught this at school. Our kids are going to school for 8 hours a day, and they're not learning about credit, and not learning about finances, and not learning about homeownership. And it's crazy because a lot of the teachers I deal with that are my clients, they don't know about homeownership. So that's a problem in itself that needs to be addressed and needs to be talked about, because without that lack of education, it's going to be a continuous problem.
Well, it's interesting because we're bound by, I shouldn't say bound, but we're restricted by fair housing laws. So this is a subject that some people don't even want to touch when you're in your buyer consultation.
Right.
We can't talk about wanting to only help, not only, but wanting to help the Black community or wanting to help the minority communities in homeownership, because there is this big gap. That's always been a fear of mine. Like, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about race when you're meeting with buyers and sellers. Nothing. You don't talk about what's safe or any of those things, right? So I think it's a unique area that. Well, Julia, let me ask you: how do we talk about that? Are we okay to talk about that from a fair housing perspective on what the gap looks like, why it's important for homeownership as we're working with buyers or sellers?
Yeah, definitely we can talk about it. And I think what Trey is saying as far as education is spot on, not just for the clients, though, but for the realtors. Because like you're saying, Daniel, most realtors don't want to touch the concept of race with a 10-foot pole, right? Yeah. At all. And the reality is as real estate professionals, we are literally transferring the wealth of America on a daily basis. We should be well-versed in understanding the land that we transfer, and also who has and who has not had access. So we can certainly talk about the homeownership gap and the things. What we can't do is, of course, do anything that is, we wouldn't explicitly say we explicitly serve Black households, right? That's a marketing tactic you can't do because no one can say we explicitly only serve white households. That's not something that we do in real estate, but we certainly can talk about the homeownership gap, how it became to be, and focusing on making sure that homeownership is equitable for everybody. And it should be something that we're focused on and talk more about.
Yeah, and I believe the real issue comes in. At that point, you're educating people. What you can't do is be directive in nature. Mm-hmm. You can't direct them in a certain way towards a certain group, a certain area. You can't be directive in nature. Education is one thing. Giving direction is something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, I mean, Daniel makes a good point. In all of our paperwork, if you're meeting with a buyer or a seller, and I don't care what state you're in, if you're a licensed agent, in your paperwork, it talks about fair housing. Right. And that's normally the part that the agents skip. that's the part nobody goes over. Yeah.
Well, how do we grow the communities in the education? Because I totally agree with you, Trey, that it definitely starts with education, understanding why it's so important to buy a house, and how do you even become eligible to buy a house, and what equity means, and a lot of these other things. Is this homebuyer seminars? Is this getting into the schools and going and teaching at the high schools and teaching, not a curriculum, but teaching, volunteering that time to try to educate that group coming up at 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, because so like last year, me and one of my partners, we once spoke in front of probably like 5 classes at a high school. And in that class, all the kids were really intrigued about what we had to offer as far as what we, and I kind of showed them like examples of what homeownership looked like, what my homeownership process looked like, mm-hmm. what my first house looked like, what my current house looks like, and giving them examples and kind of being more in tune. So they was like really receptive of like, you know what, I want to learn more about this. I spoke to a school earlier this year or last year. One of my coaches teaches at a school out in Bloomington, and he asked me to come and speak to his class whose kids were interested in real estate. And so after just speaking to them, still to this day, I keep in contact with these kids because they're so intrigued about real estate. I think right now real estate is really becoming more of the wave just due to like social media, due to TikToks and stuff like that. People are really gasping, okay, what does homeownership is? What does it look like? I had a client last year at the end of the year, 18 years old, just buy a house. 2 clients that were 19 and 20 that bought a house. So they're becoming more younger and younger buying houses these days.
So Trey, you know, you talk about these 18 and these 19-year-olds. So it's clear that you have relatability with this group of people.
Yeah.
Here's the question, though. You know, what specifically are you doing to attract them, and what specifically are you doing to help them get into houses? Because you are helping to close the gap. What specifically are you doing to, what's the magic behind, you know, Trey getting these people to purchase, and how do you make these deals happen?
Honestly, it stems from social media. You know what I'm saying? Like Julia will always say, you make it look sexy, right? So people are in tune with what I do on social media. And one, a lot of these parents that I know, kids that I know, like, and trust me. So they know, okay, what can homeowners, they know, but them buying a house, what it can do. So they're actually like one of my clients last year, 20 years old. His mom was so on top of the whole process for him when it came to buying a house. His credit was on point. Job was on point. She knew really the foundational piece to be able to buy a house and helped her son do that. And so she reached out to me on social media just by my presence. I done sold a couple of her friends and family members' houses, but she trusted me with her son last year. And I was like, dang, I think it was one of my first youngest kids to buy a house. And so, like, I think just the presence that I have on social media where people were like, okay, I can relate to him. I trust him. He looks like me. I want to be able to represent that and also catapult that to their friends. So I got
Let's stop on that. You said he looks like me, you know. So what role do you think that representation actually plays in closing the homeownership gap? Is it important to have Black real estate agents out there to help educate Black people? You also said they know, like, and trust me. So how important is it to have more Black real estate agents to contribute to closing this gap?
It's a huge factor because even when I'm dealing with professional athletes, right, you would think that they're making all this money, that they have it all together, and they really don't. And so I was speaking to a brother yesterday, matter of fact, out in D.C. He was like, you know what? I want to be able to help get you into this position with these athletes that look like us. They need to experience things that we go through, they understand that we're not trying to get over on them. We're trying to help them get to another level in their career with real estate, what that portfolio looks like. So I think a lot of times is when they can relate to you now, that means a lot, you know what I mean? Because now it's breaking down barriers. We can be vulnerable. We can speak to our experiences and stuff like that. I can tell people when I bought my first house how I didn't like it and what that's done for me and what I can currently own it still to this day. I can talk about me having a 520 credit score when I was young and what it's done, where I'm at right now. So I'm speaking on experience. So I think that's why a lot of people relate to me because, you know what I'm saying? I'm an open book when it comes to people getting into this real estate world.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
Well, I think we got to meet them where they're at too. And I think that's a big piece with your social media. Julia's saying you make it look sexy. I mean, I don't know if those of you that haven't seen my man Trey's reels, like go find him on social because he makes it look sexy. But you help these younger folks relate to you and see there's a brother doing it that has swag. It's not shirt, tie, suit, all formal. It's another person that looks like me, that acts like me, that sees the world as I see it. And he's also doing some really cool things. So let me lean in and get to know a little bit more about what's going on.
Yeah. I'm going to make a shameless plug for K-Score here because if we think that representation does matter in real estate and we need more Black real estate agents, which by the way, I think the statistic right now is somewhere around 6 or 7% of real estate agents are Black. That's a really low number. And so if we need more Black real estate agents, we do have some offerings to help people get their license without, I'm trying to stay with what legal tells me I can say. It's free to you. Let's do that. It's free to you if somebody pays for it. But you can take the pre-licensing education at no expense to the person taking the licensing education. And so that's one of the barriers that help people get over that. So you can get the classes paid for free. You can get all the way to the test without having paid a cent, you know, and that might be helpful in getting more people into the business. And I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, Trey, but I know that you came in the business, I guess I call it fairly young, and started off right away doing really well. You were the rookie of the year. And some people, a lot of times when I talk to Black agents, they say, well, you know, I don't know where to get started, or I don't know how to get started, or I don't have any clients. Mm-hmm. Talk briefly about how you first came in and how that worked for you.
When I first came in, I showed up like this was my job, which is my career. And I knew leaving corporate America, I just needed to show up and just start and be one, be committed. I knew it was going to be a time. So for the first 6 months, I just figured out the business, what I need to know, who I need to have involved, what key players is going to help me build this out. So during that time is like me really understanding the whole process. But I showed up every day. From Ignite to Bold, I was committed to making it. Like, you know what? I'm going to give it my all to making a difference. What, you know, I couldn't go back to corporate America. So it's like, what am I going to do today is I'm going to show up. I'm going to learn the business. I'm going to network with amongst people and I'm just going to execute.
Well, it's interesting because when our path to success in real estate, when you look like us, is vastly different than a lot of other people's path to success in real estate. I'm sure you probably experienced some prejudice, some challenge growing up as a young, successful agent. Talk to us a little bit about how did you have that mindset when you came in as a newer agent with the focus on, I want to help my community. I'm going to deal with some challenge, some pain, some discomfort, understanding that the wealth gap or the homeownership gap is so large in your state. How did you stay positive? How did you want to what made you lean into your community? And what made you keep the mindset of continued growth?
I always kind of talk about when I first got into the business, how I didn't see too many people that looked like me, right? And I knew when I was selling cable, it still sticks to me to this day when I had one of my client or customers reach out and was like, hey, if you got into real estate, I would trust you. I will buy my first house with you. And I'm like, you know what? I was the top salesperson at Comcast on cable door to door. So I done had dogs let out on me. I done been through it all selling door to door. I'm in the $1 million area selling door to door. People ain't answering the door. They gonna answer the telecom. That's it. So I knew getting into this was like it was gonna take some time. And I'm a firm believer on nothing. There's no such thing as instant gratification. I believe on delayed gratification. You just gotta show up and just do the work. And just have good people. Like my biggest thing is like, how can I make a difference? Right. And so once I got into it and I closed, my first deal was my mom. She sold her house and bought. During that whole transaction, I didn't know what the hell I didn't know what I was doing, but like, you know what? Like, and it's okay. Cause as I'm going on learning more and more, it's okay to make mistakes. That's how you learn. Right. And so I made a mistake. She ended up having to be in a hotel for a couple of days, but then ended up closing on her house. But going through that whole process, I'm like, you know what? I'm learning. And then I still remember my first year, this was back in August. I had like 8 deals that I was supposed to close in August. And all of them was giving me headache. They was all about to not close. And I'm going through that. I'm like, damn. And one of my friends was like, you know what? You're supposed to go through things like this. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. That's how you evolve. And so, like, you know what? I took what I learned from that, and that really kind of catapulted me. Like, you know what? I can overcome these problems. But you got to have the right team in place. You got to have the right loan officers in place. You got to have the right title people in place. So the knowledge that I've gained right off early, it kind of got me to where I'm at right now.
That's good. Now let's go a little bit different direction. When you talk about a lot of this closing the homeownership gap, a lot of what you and I were talking offline about is some of the down payment assistance programs and some of the way it's astonishing. Julia said 68% of renters still think you need 20% down to buy a house. And we are heavy in Colorado on down payment assistance. It's something we talk to with every single lead. Even if they're getting money from mom or dad, we're still talking about how great these programs are. Talk a little bit about the programs you have locally, Trey, and why those are important in helping bridge this gap.
So here we have one of the big players involved. It's called Minnesota Housing. When I first started, I think they was only doing like 11,000 in down payment assistance. Now it's up to 18,000 in down payment assistance. And like Julia said, like I'm partnered with a lot of different nonprofit organizations that have special donor money. Under special city program money. My goal when I meet with a client is to see where they're at, right? See how much money that they have. My goal is to help them get into the house with the least amount of money out of pocket and keeping their payments where they're comfortable at. So being partnered with a lot of these different organizations over the course of the years, I built up a relationship so I'm able to help them, point them in a certain direction when it comes to going to certain homebuyer classes to get the certificates that they need. Stacking different multiple down payment programs on top of each other. So we can be competitive, especially when the market 21, when it was going crazy. To go in there and even ask for seller pays, it's not going to happen. Deal with an FHA offer, it was almost not going to happen. So just building up these relationships and be able to know how to leverage these down payment assistance to make our offers enticing. You need somebody that understands these programs, especially when you're dealing with these first time home buyers. Because if you don't, you're going to get priced out right away and you're going to get into real estate and be like, you know what? This ain't for me. That's because, you know what I'm saying, not well educated enough to understand what's important, what's out there, what resources are available.
And, so and I'm big on that. I think that all agents, if your state entity has given you a license to transact real estate, I think anyone with a license needs to know about those programs, needs to know it exists. I almost feel like it's malpractice if you don't know. The information that's out there. I use an analogy of a plumber. If something goes wrong with your house, you call a plumber to come and fix it. They don't know exactly what's wrong, but they come with a toolbox. They got tools in that toolbox to fix whatever the problem might be. And maybe they don't have it on them. They got to go out to the truck and get something else and then come back in. But they don't show up empty-handed. And I feel like as a real estate agent, we also should have a toolbox full of tools and resources and programs. And we should know what's out there so that when someone approaches us, we can say, I don't know exactly what your situation is going to be, but I got all these tools and programs in my toolbox. And mm-hmm. and I feel like if you're out there without your toolbox, really you are doing a disservice to the community because someone may approach you and say, hey, my credit score is this and I don't have a lot of money. And I would hate for an agent to say, oh, that's a shame. I sure wish you could participate, you know, instead of actually saying, oh, okay, I think there's a program that might be able to help you. Or like a lot of people at our office do, Trey, they don't really want to do that. And that's cool. We do that. You know, you can refer them to us.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing, especially with these down payment systems, what I've been realizing, one, you have to have a not just the agent, but you have to have a great loan officer that one is passionate about the trajectory of change in home ownership. If you don't have a good loan officer, because they deal with someone like, oh, there's so much paper, I don't want to take time. You got to have somebody that's really passionate about helping you bridge the gap. And my loan officer, he does great. I can call him any time of the day and we're going to figure it out. We're going to really figure it out from A to Z. I'm going to ask some questions to dig deep to figure out what it is that we can do to get this client into a house and utilize as much money as possible. So that's the biggest thing. You got to have a loan officer that understands down payment assistance and that also wants to make a difference. That's one of the biggest keys when it comes to that.
Yeah, because it is a stickier loan. The credit score is usually not through the roof. There is some debt. Sometimes you have some collections. A lot of the loan officers before we built the mortgage company didn't want to deal with down payment assistance because the buyers that came with people that were using down payment assistance. So to your point, you've got to be able to have those professionals that have the same heart that you have and have the same vision of not just making a buck, but really trying to change people's lives.
You know what's so funny? I was at this meeting 2 weeks ago and one of the loan officers, I just overheard them and they was like, you know what? I don't really want to, I don't think, because I had a client that bought a house, there was at a 580 credit score and they got down payment assistance and they got into a brand new house. And they was like, I don't think it's right for somebody with a 580 credit score. I'm like, who are you to judge this buyer because they have a 580 credit score because you think that they're going to go into foreclosure? I said, at the end of the day, that's what's wrong with this world now is because you guys are more afraid of a low credit score that they can't afford it. What if they can't afford it? You shouldn't be like gun holding people back from their dreams just because you think that they're going to go into foreclosure just because I have a 580 credit score. I'm like, I had a 530 credit score at one point. That score goes up. It's just a score.
Well, let's talk about that because I think in our next episode, we are going to talk about credit scores. So that is one of the barriers for people. What do you all think or recommend that your clients do to prepare for that or get their credit score in a position where they can begin to purchase real estate that a lot of people feel as a systemic issue? Not without spoiling it for the next episode.
That's a hot button for me, right? And I've just been observing, I'm sucking it up. Seek professional help. I think a lot of people, particularly us, like we say, well, my cousin told me how to fix my credit score. They told me seek professional help. The best way to get your credit score to a place where you can purchase a home is to seek professional help, credible for professional help, actually with a third-party validation or with a professional referral. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we just say, well, I know what to do. I'm just going to pay this off and fix this. And that's not the real answer. The real answer is a professional who does this on a day-to-day basis to help you get to the next level.
A lot of times people don't even know where they're at to know where they're going when it comes credit. And I even bring this back to when I lost all this weight. I'm like, I need to step on that scale, right? I don't care where I'm at. I just need to step on that scale, see that number, and then just go. A lot of times when I'm dealing with these clients, they don't even know where to start because they don't even know where they're at. And so, like Emery said, there's just so many different, especially here, there's nonprofits that will help you credit coach you. And you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm involved in the community so I can point them in the right direction to go to the right people when it comes to understanding credit, understanding their budget and stuff like that.
So when I was getting ready to start our mortgage company, I couldn't think of what name to have. And I was at the Westin in Scottsdale. It's a funny story. I was at the Westin's in Scottsdale. I'm trying to think of the name and I'm not a very creative person. I go to get in the shower and then on the little foot mat, it said step. And I was like, first step. Because that is the hardest thing for every single first-time home buyer to do is take that first step to understand what does their situation even look like? What do we need to do? And we coach and we tell people, whether you're buying today or you're buying in 3 years from now, we've got to understand where you're at to get you on a path to get you to where you're going. So to your point, like we've got to just take the step, understand what we're dealing with. But I mean, when you grow up like a lot of us have, there's the bills or the bills that are piling up in the corner and we don't want to even look at them because we know it's bad news. And so I remember growing up, that was the way my mom used to act. And I'm like, no, let's go open them and understand what's happening and how do we get past this? And so it's just, it's uncovering of the information that then can allow us to create a plan that then can allow us the path. This isn't the goal of, we may not be able to buy in the next 12 months. Maybe we buy in 2 years from now, but we've got to understand where we're at to be able to get on that path to go where we're going.
It's crazy because a lot of times I'm dealing with people, they're closer than what they really think they are.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, once I'm like, you know what, we just got to start. Let's get, pull your credit, see where you're at. If you're not there, that's fine. We'll put you on a plan. But you might be closer than where you really think you
are. Okay, well, stop there. And I think that's a lot of the challenge. You said you meet with people. It takes a lot of courage for people to even try sometimes to see where they're at. You know what I mean? Like you talked about your weight loss journey. You talked about, okay, I got to, like even the courage it took for you to actually step on the scale. It takes a lot of courage for people to find out where they're at. The dilemma is, what if they don't run into Trey Adams? What if they don't run into Daniel Dixon and they get that courage to try and they run into somebody who doesn't know about programs, who doesn't want to take the time to get them on the path? And that could be some of the agents who are listening to this podcast right now. What is the responsibility for people to have that patience and actually send them somewhere, not send them away? You all know I like stats. There's one out there that says that when people get up the courage to actually do that, and then maybe they run into somebody, they say, oh, yes, you're not really good enough. They may not try again for 7 years, right? And so how do we not be that person that's pushing people away instead of, like you just said, Trey, you said get them on a plan. How can agents actually take the time and care to put somebody on a plan that's not ready right now?
Honestly, it goes back to why you even started real estate, what you got into it for. And I think even when you go back to the agents just getting into it, what's the main reason why you're getting into it? Are you get into it just because you think the money's great, or you get into it because you want to make a difference? I was like, you know what? I want to make a difference. I know the money will come. How can I help more Black families purchase homes? How can I get more single fathers to purchase homes? Because a lot of my clientele are single women. I'm like, they over here out here killing the game. And so how can I get more Black brothers into houses? And so right now, we actually just game plan yesterday with my team on doing a home buyer seminar. And I was talking to one of the agents, like, you know what? We got to come from a place of vulnerability so they can relate to us more and break down more barriers that they are probably heard from this person. We're going to just talk about it and just be honest and be truthful about it. And that's where you start gaining more people's attention when you dealing with homeownership, dealing with Black people and the generational curses that they have come across.
Yeah, the other part of that is, you know, that saying, remain in curiosity and stay out of judgment, which is a hard place to be for some people. However, just you always have to, I believe you have to come from a place where, what if this was me? Mm-hmm. You know, what if this was my brother? What if this, we just have to come from that perspective. We didn't start out where we are right now. We all started somewhere. And right. Just remember, that person is starting out where they are. And that's that first step Daniel was talking about. You know, how do we get them to make that first step? They start where they are, and we have to respect them for where they are. At the end of the day, it's about where can we take them. It's really, if you want to take a look at, like Trey said, why did you get into this business? Yeah, you got into this business to help people. At the end of the day, there is a monetary reward. The big deal that I've always said is, I want your friends, your family, and everybody you know business. So I'm going to treat you a certain way.
All right, Trey, I'm going to just summarize some things because I know you actually have a client that you've got to get to help in a little bit here. But what I've heard you say, one is that, one, you care and you have to first care about the community and closing the homeownership gap. And then you said it was very important to get with a loan officer that cared as much as you care, that also wants to help people. I also heard you say you actually out in the community, involved in the community, to know about programs and resources and down payment assistance and all of those different things that would help people get into homeownership. You also mentioned that you are relatable because people know, like, and trust you. And they know, like, and trust you because they've seen you out in the community and you do home buyer education classes and you talk at the schools. And then also you mentioned that social media is a good way to get people to come to you so that you can educate them. And you do home buyer education seminars to help people understand the process because education is the key. What am I missing? What else do we need to do to close the homeownership gap?
Yeah, you just summed it up. I think just really be active, be knowledgeable, and just have a passion for it. Like you said, being involved in the community has opened up a lot of doors. We're actually going to get ready to donate more of our time this week to a nonprofit, and just being in the community and just from that aspect of things.
All right. If there's one thing you would like to tell listeners about closing the homeownership gap, what would that one thing be?
I think what Daniel said, the first step, you just got to know where you're at right now and don't be embarrassed. I think a lot of times people are just embarrassed by where they're at, and that's okay. Cause you know what I'm saying? Most people probably started where you're at. And I know that just from dealing with a lot of different clientele, different clients and stuff like that, but just the first step, and just see where you're at and then try to put yourself on a plan, get with somebody that knows what they're doing, get with a loan officer to know what they're doing, and just go from there.
Thank you, Trey, for joining us on the Color of Money podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in for another great episode of the Color of Money podcast. Tune in next week for more transformative conversations to earn more, learn more, and build wealth. We'll see y'all next time. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.